BCLF Coco Pod is a Caribbean storytelling experience in which writers of Caribbean heritage narrate their own stories. Each story is a seed, a nugget of an original work of fiction, rich with the rhythm, pitch, and intonation of the one who wrote it. It is Caribbean storytelling told in the best way possible, in the voice of the place that gave it life, imbued with the magic and accents of the region. Coco Pod is an original Brooklyn Caribbean Literary Festival production.
Hi, my name is Sophie Jai, and I'm the author of Wildfires. I was born and raised in Trinidad, spent most of my life growing up in Toronto, and now live in Oxford, England. Wildfires is my debut novel. It's a story about a family of Trinidadian women navigating the death of a close family member, each in their own way. The main character, a young woman, tries to understand why her family has lived in suffocating silence all these years by journeying back in time. Wildfires will be out with HarperCollins in the U.S. on May 30th, 2023. Here is its opening chapter. My cousin had Onions to thank for the name Chevy. I was 6 years old when Onions first regaled me with the legend of Chevy. And by the time I was 8 and ready to leave Macaria myself, that humble street of my home in Trinidad, I had heard the story so many times that I could repeat each minute detail as if I had been there. The standstill of the clear blue sky, the precisely 5 watchful birds on the electrical lines, the smell of exhaust fumes. There must have been something about seeing our small vacant faces, my older sister and I, and whichever miscellaneous cousin was meandering around, that made Onions want to sit us down, neatly cross-legged next to each other like Russian nesting dolls, and ask, "You girls know how your cousin gets your name? It's a real funny story. Come, I'll go tell you." Every time he told the story, Onions described his younger self as a lanky, dark-skinned Indian, as if these features had changed over time. He was 11 years old when the legend of Chevy was born, with hair so thin the boys played bets he'd be bald by 25, and feet so consistently dirty that we questioned the purpose of his sandals. Onions had gotten his own name on account of his epiphora, a condition that made his eyes water endlessly since he was a little boy. Unprovoked tears often leaked down his face, and the other boys, some girls too, taunted him. "Hey, Onions, you're crying again?" They could barely stifle their giggles, but young Onions could not stifle his tears when they replied on his behalf, "Then stop chopping onions, Onions." And then they were gone, their falsetto cackles and hurried footsteps fading into the echoes of fugitives through unmarked alleys. At some point, real tears mixed with fake ones, but when the others eventually earned nicknames through their own flaws, like Stinkmouth, Jumbie, and Longfoot, sticking to them so hard throughout the entirety of their lives that even to their own ears their given names sounded like that of a stranger, Onions was glad not to be called by his first name like Sunil, whom they excluded from everything. Onions told us that on the day the legend of Chevy came to fruition, he had declared to everyone in the front yard of a snacket that my cousin, officially known as Patrick from birth, had won a race running against a brand new Chevy Nova 2. A true storyteller, patient and passionate, Onions would lean forward in his seat and segue into the weather and other orbiting elements he thought cataclysmic to his plot, seeing his life in third person as if already dead. It was a day in June 1982, a Friday. "The high noon sun beam a gold spotlight onto the yard," he would say, as if the legend of Chevy couldn't have been conceived on any other day but one with sun. The divine role of weather was lost in our young minds, and it was only when I grew older and began documenting the story of my family that I wondered how triumphant the legend of Chevy would have been had the skies been gray. We listened eagerly every time, though, trusting each word as a pearl of truth, for stories were our only family heirlooms. We reimagined the very Macaria we sat in through Onions' sepia filter of time, the 1- and 2-story houses erected decades earlier by our great-great-grandfathers, painted the hues one found on summer nail polish palettes, coral crush, water orchid, blue lala. Roughly cut sheets of galvanized metal laying on rooftops that pelted the heat back to the sun, and when it was rained on, sounded like gunfire. Those in guard dogs beneath the sills of open windows and billowing cream curtains. Fuchsia and cotton bougainvillea petals spiraling down to front yards like the wings of butterflies. And stray dogs sniffing the street's open drains for scraps, their skin sliding along their rib cages, heads bowed low. All this onion said to us, his open palm moving across the room in panoramic scope, as if from the center of it, he wished to project the sights of his stories onto the walls. Even though we were sitting right there on the island, and none of those things had really changed. The only time the story stopped was when the smile dropped from his face and he suddenly turned somber. Listen, eh? You have to remember that Chevy wasn't some ordinary boy. I ain't saying only that because he's my friend, but because of what happened to him. By the time he was 12 years old, he lived three lives already. First, being born into this world. Second, as a suddenly only child. And finally, as an orphan. Later on, when I would be in my 20s in a country much further north, and when I sensed it was my turn to tell a story, I told the greatest one I knew. I channeled my inner onions and suppressed the accent that for years pleaded to be flung free from beneath my tongue. Often, Innes would be there. Listen, you guys, listen, I would say. It was a day in June 1982, a Friday. The high noon sun beamed a gold spotlight in the front yard of a Snacket. That's what we called convenience stores back home. For the most part, eyes would smile and bodies would relax. And if they didn't, I gave the abridged version. Innes would be smiling, having heard the story countless times since the fifth grade. She never listened less with each retelling. The story of my family is one of potholes and cracks that I have tried to fill over the years for no reason other than my own need to neatly pen a narrative. A beginning, middle, and an end, a sequential flow of things happening to my relatives over the course of time, so I cannot deny how I came to be, why I am the way I am.
Thank you for listening. Caribbean stories are like a mighty tree whose branches extend to offer shade and comfort wherever her children settle. Join us for more stories by Caribbean writers. Follow, download, and share BCLF the Cocoa Pod with friends. Until next time.